You have called and I have come. When you join in my name, I promised I will come. And yes, I am here. I am always here. I am also always with you wherever you are. I long to take you all under my wings, for I have large wings, and I love each and every one of you. I long to be with you on Monday morning, when things are hard, when you know you should do what's right, but you're afraid. I long to be with you every day. Yes, I am here. But I have also said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Not just on Sunday, but on every day. The church is broken. The church is broken, and I want to call my people, my sheep, to me. Not just on Sunday mornings. Not just on Sunday nights. Not just on Wednesday nights. Every day and every hour. Call and I will come. Receive me and I will be there, for I am there, whether you call or whether you don't. So let me walk in every day of your life, and I will transform your life forever.
You live in America. You think you have liberty. But you don't know liberty till you know me, and if you'll follow me long enough and come deeper with me, if you'll linger in my presence, I'll set you free and do a work that you've never thought about. And you say, I have healing in my wings. There's wings, but the wings cover you, but there's healing in my wings as well. And you want me, I want you now to occupy. I want to occupy you. I want to occupy this place. I don't want a visitation. I want occupation, and I want to occupy. I want to come where I am allowed to do what I want to do. So allow me now to just breathe deep, 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 deep into you and liberate you. And when my love shall surround you, and it's my love, my love, my love that sets you free. It is my love that liberates you. Every fear will drop off. Every sickness drops off in my love. You do not understand that my whole word works by love. Faith works by love. Everything works by love. And I want to baptize you with love. For that is where I'm going to move. It's in my love.
Hallelujah. So we're going to get into his word. So are you ready? Okay, let's repeat our favorite Bible verse together, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. I want to kind of emphasize the word on that this morning. It jumped out at me, always. He always, not once in a while, not occasionally, always leads us in triumph. God is always on, amen. He's always who he is, and his word never changes, amen. God told us back in October that this was going to be a year of turnaround, and that means to change direction, to reverse course, and I was thinking about it last week. Did you know that if you're going in the right direction, you don't need a turnaround? Let me say it like Jesus said it. The healthy don't need a physician. Well, if things aren't going the way you think they ought to, you need a turnaround. If there's still things you're growing in and still expanding in, you need a turnaround. You need to change the course that you're on to get into the flow of God so you can receive what God has already planned for you and for your life. Amen? Now, some people say, well, what does all that mean? Well, in simple layman's term, repent. Change the course and direction. Get things right. Get things with God. See, and one of the things is, when you think about God always, that in Christ, we always triumph in him. If you're thinking, well, maybe I will or maybe I won't, you need to turn around. Because that Bible verse says, now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And we've talked about this before. that if God is leading us, it means you've got to be following, or else Christ isn't leading. Hello. You know, a lot of us say, I'm following Christ. Are you? Are you going where he's going? Are you doing what he's doing? Are you saying what he's saying? You know, this is what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that God's with me wherever I go. It means I'm following him wherever he goes. And I know he's with me. I know he's in me. But one of the crucial things is, am I going where he's going? Because he may still be in me, but I can be sitting still. So I need to go where Jesus is going. I always love it in Mark, I think it is. Jesus says, I'm going to Galilee. Meet me there. And he just walks off. Can you imagine that? Now, let me give you an example of how hard that is. If I would say, we're going to Piedmont, and I just walk out of church, what would you do? So that makes it a little bit more real, doesn't it? They always say when churches begin to grow and they have to get a new building, they always lose some people because they just like the old building. They're not willing to follow. That means I have to drive 5 more minutes or maybe 10 more minutes. It's like, I don't know if I want to follow that. Well, then what are you following? So if you're following God, you want to be where he's at. Hello? You don't want to miss out on anything because you want to be where God is. Amen? This is what it means that he always leads us. And he's always in front of us, taking us somewhere, but we've got to be willing to follow where he's taken us. Amen? Now, Luke 18:8 is our foundational scripture for the church. And it says this, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? See, this is a question. If you follow God, you're walking in faith. Hello. If you're doing what God said to do, you're walking in faith. If you're saying what God says, you're walking in faith. That's what faith is. Now, in Strong's Bible Dictionary, it gives basically 3 definitions of this word for faith. The Greek word is pistis. It means a firm persuasion or a conviction based upon hearing. But it involves 3 areas. Number 1, of a firm conviction. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? See, that's a conviction. Well, if I believe it is the Word of God, it's going to affect me. I'm going to read it. I'm going to study it. I'm going to begin to apply my life to the Word of God. And where I find out that I'm not in agreement, I'm going to change my life to get in with the Word of God. Why? Because I have a firm conviction that the Bible is the Word of God, the beginning of faith. The second thing, it involves personal surrender. Lord, your Word is first. Your Word is truth. I'm going to surrender to your word. And finally, it is a conduct inspired by such surrender. Oh, now it gets hard. Now you're walking on toes. It is surrender. Lord, remember what Jesus prayed in the garden? Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Well, so many people have misconstrued that to mean that, well, Lord, if you want me sick, I'll be sick. Well, that's not his will. Jesus was talking about, Lord, I don't really want to go to the cross and die because I know it's going to hurt a lot. And my flesh is still flesh. It's just as human as any other kind of flesh. But Lord, if there's not another way to do this, Lord, your will be done and not my own. He's talking about himself in a particular situation of going to the cross to pay for your and my sins. So he says, Lord, not my will. He surrendered himself to the will of God. He wasn't asking, well, Father, if you want me to be sick for a few days, I'll be sick. Lord, if you want me to have this problem in my life, Lord, I'll take that. No, that's not what it is. Because God is, I'll just put it like this. The Bible says he sent his word and healed them. So if you get his word, what's going to be the result? Healing. Why? He sent his word and healed them. You'll never find a scripture in the Bible that says God sent his word and made their life worse. You won't find it. Now, were they persecuted for it? Yeah. But they persecuted them because of the word, but the word blessed them. The word was a good thing for them. Amen? In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Again, we walk by faith. The way we conduct ourselves, pattern our lives after Jesus is we have chosen to walk by faith. We've chosen to believe in Jesus Christ for our salvation. We've chosen to believe in Jesus Christ that when we die, we're going to go to heaven. We've chosen to believe in Jesus Christ and all these things. Well, you need to choose to believe in Jesus Christ as your healer, as your deliverer, as your financier, as your blesser, to receive him as all of these things. Because he is. He is the Jehovah Jireh. I've been in churches. Yeah, he's Jehovah Jireh, man. He always makes provision for us in advance of our need to satisfy our need. Hallelujah. Then you believe all your needs are met. Well, brother, I got this one thing. No, you just said he's Jehovah Jireh. Well, yeah, but that's just a title in a song that we sing. No, that is a description of who God is. One of many in the Bible. He is the Jehovah Jireh. He is the God who has already, think about it, already provided blessings for you that you should walk in them. He's already made provision for every area of our life. Boy, you missed a good time to shout. That is just, if you're down in the dumps, like, woo, yes, hallelujah, that's me he's talking about. Is you can grab out, reach it, and grab hold of it by faith. That's me. God is my provider. He's my Jehovah Jireh. God has already made provision for me. I don't care what it is, how big, how small. God is my provider. See, this is what Jehovah Jireh means. You know, I love it. We get together for church, and everybody's, we're going to have a worship service. Thank you, Jesus. Well, while we were in worship, the shofar's going off. People are singing in tongues. Some are singing in off key. You know, some are singing on key, you know, and just all kinds of things going on. And God says, people have this concept of heaven and worship because there's, you know, there's worship 24/7 in heaven. And they think it's a form of worship. Like if you were raised in a church that sings hymns, heaven's going to be full of hymn singing. If you're charismatic, it's going to be all of this. It's going to be all of that. And every church has a different vision of what the heaven worship is going to be like. He says it's all of it and more. There's flashes of light and thunders. There's the glory of God going on up in heaven. He says, it's going to be so wild. You can just get immersed over in this one area and miss everything else. But, boy, you can just go. I feel like this today. I feel like that today. Oh, hallelujah. It's a worship smorgasbord. And you can do anything you want to in heaven because we're going to be out of our sinful flesh and we're just going to enjoy the things of God. Amen. It's going to be a wonderful time in heaven. And people get so offended. Well, I just don't think you should worship God like that. Well, let me ask you. If you know you've been delivered from sin, will you shout? Yeah, if you know that you are healed by his stripes, will you shout? Yeah. See, some people, you can give this stuff to. Yes, I believe that, brother. No, you don't. Just being real blunt. No, you don't. Because if you believed it, you'd shout. Every curse is broken off of you. Woo! Hallelujah! Blessings come my way. Yes, Lord! Hallelujah! See, you get excited about it. Why? It's real. It's real. This is who I am. I am the blessed of the Lord. I am the chosen of God. I am the sanctified, the set apart. I am the justified. I am the redeemed of the Lord. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say, so! Hallelujah! See, this you can get real excited and say, oh, I don't think we should behave that way in church. You better get used to it because heaven's going to be a wild place. It's going to be a wonderful place. So I never expected they would do that in heaven. Well, everybody says, I want to go to hell because they party down there. You don't know what party is like till you see the throne of heaven and you see what goes on. You have no concept of party. See, the world parties, and how do they know it was a good party? They don't remember it the next day. Boy, that's a good party. I don't have any memory of it at all. I don't know what happened. Boy, I was really free. I don't have a clue what I did. Yeah, that's the problem. But I tell you, in heaven, you can party from dawn till dusk, because the sun never sets. You can party all day long. You can party for all eternity, and you get to remember all of it. That's a party. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go on. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. See, part of the scriptures that we've been hitting on for the last several weeks, and we are beginning a new series today about faith, but we've been saying that the just shall live by faith. And when I thought about that a couple weeks ago, the just shall live by faith, that means not according to the world. We're going to live by faith, amen? The world, we'll get into this maybe next week, the world has a natural faith, but we have a supernatural faith. See, we live by faith, not by the wisdom of the world. Now, you've got to catch that, because there's a way of the world and there is God's way. The way of the world is death. Did you hear that? The way of the world is death. The way of God is life. If you really stop and think about it for a while, the faith of the world is always in decline. The faith of the world is it's going to go from good to bad and from bad to worse. The wisdom of the world, the faith of the world, is the second law of thermodynamics. Now, I won't spend too much time on this, but it's the law that everything is degrading. Everything is breaking down into the most simplest elements. And one of these days, with or without global warming, this whole earth is going to pass away. See, that's the faith of the world. Well, you know, when you get older, three things begin to happen to you. The first is you begin to lose your memory. I can never remember the other two things. See, that's the faith of the world. What's the faith of God? Caleb says, I'll take that mountain. How old is the guy? 120 years old. He's going to take the mountain. It took the man 80 years to get into get out of the wilderness. And another 40 years in a promised land, he finally comes up to Joshua and says, I'm going to take that mountain. Moses told me it was mine. I want you to tell me I can take that, because once you tell me I can take it, we're taking it. And he took it. An old man. Well, aren't we looking forward to retiring when we're 60? Hey, Moses was 80 when the Lord sent him to get Israel out of Egypt. Think about that. Well, brother, when I'm 80, I just want to sit back in my recliner, and you could miss the move of God, because all you're thinking about is quitting. See, that's the wisdom of the world. Hello? I didn't say you can't have fun when you get older, but we got so much quitting on our mind. If God would ask you to do something new, you'd turn him down because you don't want to do anything new. See, the faith of the world will always talk you out of the things of God. This is a description in the scripture. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy. When you get older, you ought to have more joy. Hallelujah. You ought to have more joy. You've got more goodness of God under your belt. Amen. Say, you got to understand, God's way is better, but the natural man cannot see this wisdom. Natural man can't see it. Do you mean God's way is better? Well, they just can't grab a hold of that because they're caught in the faith of this world. Have you found 1 Corinthians 1? Go to verse 20. It says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Isn't that wonderful? See, we say, well, God really didn't know what he was talking about. Yes, he did. Well, that just sounds foolish to me to do what the Bible says. Well, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. I like his letter to the Corinthians. He starts out and says, you know, there's not many wise among you. Well, isn't that a compliment? There's not many that are strong among you. You're really a bunch of pretty foolish people. But let me tell you, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. because the wives will scrap and they'll fight and to get all these things, and we just sit back and let God give it to us. And we just enjoy the goodness of God. Hallelujah. The world has all these things, and they don't have joy, and they don't have peace, and they don't have righteousness. But God has given us these things as a gift. Isn't that wonderful? He's given them to us. They belong to us. Amen? So you need to appropriate those by faith. Now, let me just say a few things here. I know it's about time. Scripture says, come out from among them. Okay? What separates us from the world? Think about it. What separates you from the world? It's your faith. That's what separates us and distinguishes us from the way of the world. Faith starts where the will of God is known. And Jesus prayed over the disciples, sanctify them by your truth, because your word, your logos, is truth. In other words, the ideas of God, the counsel of God, the wisdom of God is greater than the things in the world. His logos, if you get a hold of God's ideas, it'll start setting you free. You start getting a hold of the idea that God has redeemed me from every curse, it'll start to set you free from the curse. If you begin to believe that God has healed and delivered you of every disease, it starts to set us free. And you'll always have people come up to you, well, you know, we all get sick. Yeah, but we all get healed in Christ. Amen? Now, if you had a choice, if you had a druther, would you rather just believe that we're all going to get sick and die, or would you rather believe we're all going to get healthy and live, and when it's time to go, you just go? I choose the latter part. Man, why die sick if I can die healthy? Amen? Why go home and be with Jesus and try to escape my body when I can die and go home and have a good body and have a better body when I get home? See, this is a choice for us. This is what God has laid before us. You say, well, that's just foolishness. You guys are wacko. You guys are crazy. I'm quoting Scripture. This isn't my idea. Paul, I believe it's Paul, he intimates, he says, who would come up with this stuff? Who would conceive of a God this miraculous? Because if you look at every other world religion, none of them even get close. And the Jews at least know God loves them. They know at least they've got a covenant, but they've got a sad faith. Because all they can look at is persecution. And because all they could see was persecution and hard times, when Jesus appeared in their midst, many could not believe in him. Many could not accept him. Remember him standing over Jerusalem? Oh, I long to draw you, and I long to put my wings over you and to cover you and bring you in. Oh, but you would not. You would not let me. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I weep for you. I cry for you. Well, that's kind of like what the Word was saying today over his church. You know, I've got wings. They're big enough to cover you, but you got to come in. You've got to be willing to be gathered by God. Well, see, this is faith. And faith will separate you from the way of the world. Well, who do you think you are? Well, how do you respond? I mean, in our heart, we say, I'm a child of God. That's who I am. But if you say that out loud, they're going to say, oh, we got a wacko case here. I see psychological counseling for you. It's like, no, I'm the healthy one. You're the one that needs counseling because you're living in the spirit of death. You're living in the spirit. You say, I'm trying to deny. I'm not trying to deny anything. I don't deny sickness. Sickness is real. I don't deny dementia. Dementia is real. But I believe in a God who is greater than sickness, greater than cancer, greater than dementia. Amen. This is our God who has redeemed us from every curse, every sickness, every disease. And boy, that'll separate you. Now get this. You cannot live in two worlds. There is the world's way and there's God's way. There is flesh and there is spirit. But the problem is we're trying to mix the two of them. And we call it carnal Christianity. I believe in God, but I'm still living in the flesh. I'm trying to get the two to line up. And have you ever noticed flesh doesn't want to agree? I mean, Paul even said, I want to do the right thing, and I just can't do it. Every time I try to do the right thing, something wrong goes, you know, happens. Every time I try to do the right thing, something interferes. He said, it's sin in me. Now notice he didn't say, I sinned. He said, it's a sin in me that keeps me from doing the very thing I want to do. Because if I want to do it, why can't I do it? Have you ever thought that one through? I want to do it, meaning my soul is wanting to agree with my spirit. I want to do it. I declare that God's way is the right way. It's the correct way. But my flesh goes, no! And sometimes you got to beat that flesh and drag it along. Said, we're going to do this. We're going to do this now in the name of Jesus Christ. You flesh, you foul thing, shut up. And you just get it into submission and you take authority. Flesh, this is what we're going to do. You've got to do it. Well, but that's hard. I know it's hard. Flesh is strong. But your spirit man is just as strong and stronger because the Almighty God has caused you to be born again. And it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Hallelujah. See, this is the God that we serve. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. That I thought about this. I was sharing with Linda the other day, and I didn't really realize this till then, but a two-fold cord is hard to beat. It's strong. Okay, three-fold cord is even better. But the Bible says, if two would agree as touching anything on earth, it will be done for them. Now think about this. My spirit is in agreement with God. No debate there. My spirit man knows God because God has caused it to be born again. If I can get my soul to line up with my spirit, we've got two in agreement. And the flesh has no choice but to follow. It has to obey. Two of us are in agreement. God said, if two are in agreement, it shall be done for them what they ask. So if I can get my soul, my thinking, my thought process, my natural faith to line up with the faith of God in my spirit, it'll happen in my flesh. Because the flesh has no choice. And sometimes you feel like you're just dragging this thing along. It's like, yeah, you are. Because flesh don't want to go. Because flesh likes flesh. And flesh likes to be padded. You know, when you're trying to lose weight, I'm hungry. Is it, shut up, flesh. I'm so hungry. Can we have just one potato chip? I don't want any more, just one. I just need some flavor. Oh, the flesh is just one potato chip. Okay, we'll have one. Right. Well, that was a pretty good potato chip. I'll go, and pretty soon, half the bag is gone. And now you're in condemnation because, man, I blew the diet the first day. You know, sometimes the first hour. Because as soon as you start thinking, I need to go on a diet, the flesh, ooh, 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 we're hungry. You got to eat. I just, have you ever, I was talking to someone the other day, we started talking about food, and they said, you're making me hungry now. They weren't before I started talking, but I started talking about all the hamburgers and the good places we ate on vacation. And they said, oh, you're making me hungry now. I said, I am too. I was ready to go out and eat again. Was I hungry? No. Was I starving? No. But all of a sudden, I had an idea planted in my soul. Potato chip. Gotta have potato chip. Feel like I'm being transformed into the cookie monster sometimes. Just eat it all up. Now, that's a carnal Christian. Now, go to Romans 8. I'm trying to end this. I really am. Romans chapter 8, verses 6, 7, and 8. Now just think about this with all that we've talked about. For to be carnally minded is death. Yeah. If I'm going to walk in my carnal mind, which is a mind that is flesh-oriented, I'm walking in death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Hallelujah, that's what I want. Because the carnal mind is enmity or in strife against God. Fleshy stuff don't like spirit stuff. Curtis talks about when he was first coming here, he said he grabbed the back of the pew because he was so afraid. He said, if I let go of the pew, what's going to happen to my hands? to go up in the air, you know. Well, he's not the first one. I've had other people tell me, I'm grabbing hold of that pew. He said, Gordon, my fingers are white because I'm just hanging on that pew because I am so afraid if I let go of that pew, I know what's going to happen. He's going to start praising God. He should have let go of the pew. If that's you, you should have let go of the pew. You know why they call them pews, right? They stink. Pew. It's like, man, you need to let go of your pew and start worshiping God. You need to start letting go of the natural things because it's death. Yeah. It's killing you, and you know you should praise God. You know you should do the right thing, but all that flesh wants to fight you all the way. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The mighty one lives in us. Verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity or in strife against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Don't we know that? See, this is part of the problem. The carnal Christian prays and doesn't get the answer because they keep looking at the flesh. They keep looking at the natural circumstances. They keep looking at all the things going around. They look at the doctor's report. They listen to TV. You know, the medications they advertise on TV, if they don't heal you, they'll kill you. Every one of them has side effects. Every single one of them. They don't like aspirin anymore. You know why? My theory, I don't know why, but my theory is because aspirin doesn't really have too many side effects. Aspirin, they've come, remember years, about 20 years ago, seems like yesterday to me, but about 20 years ago they came out, you should not take aspirin, aspirin makes your stomach bleed. Well, if you eat a whole bottle, and that was the problem, people were eating, you know, 5 and 6 aspirin every 10 hours or every 4 hours, according to the prescription, and you know, they were doing that, and they said, I'm coming in, I got ulcers, my stomach's bleeding, said, stop taking aspirin. Oh, aspirin's bad for you. Not if you take it 1 or 2 tablets at a time, the way it's supposed to be. But aspirin has, that's about the only bad side effect aspirin has. And you shouldn't be on aspirin for a long time anyway. Hello? It's meant for temper. Now they put you on this and that and that, and now you got all these side effects. Your liver will fail, your kidneys will fail, your bowels will get blocked up, you have bleeding in your brain, you'd have strokes, heart attacks, all this. As I thank you. I think I'm better off with whatever I have. You know? And so if you need medicine, take it. I'm not telling you not to take medicine, but I'm saying you've got to trust God in the midst of all of it. Amen? You've got to trust God. So the carnal Christian prays and doesn't get the answer because they keep looking at the flesh. They keep looking at the natural circumstances instead of the Spirit or the kingdom of God. And the usual result is they become angry with God. God, why haven't you answered my prayer? I'm believing God. Why haven't you done anything? And we usually wind up getting angry at God because we didn't get our prayer answered because we're praying incorrectly. And we're believing incorrectly because we're believing what we see and we're waiting to see what we have before we really fully commit to it. Boy, it's quiet in this church. See, Christians, we believe without seeing. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, we see things, but we see the Word of God. We see the Spirit of God working in our flesh. We see the power of God working in our minds. We see the things of God. We see His kingdom. We're focused on His kingdom. And it renews our mind and renews our thinking. But we're walking by sight in the supernatural, in the Spirit of God, not by what we see in the natural things. Because the natural things are happening. They are real. But so is God. He is alive. Did you hear the story about where Jesus was raised from the dead? Did you hear the part where he ascended to the Father? Did you hear the part of where Jesus is seated today at the right hand of God? Did you hear that he has been given all power and all authority in heaven and on earth? And did you read the part of where Jesus said, I have given you my name? You go in all the world and you preach the gospel. And what? Cast out devils, heal the sick, and raise the dead. Now, I can start talking to myself. Before you start talking to everybody else, you start talking to yourself. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm healed because I was healed. and I'm going to be healed because it's still working in me. Amen. God hasn't quit. He's still alive. He's still doing those things in me. He's quickening my mortal flesh. Romans 8, I love it. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. I am not going to walk in condemnation. I'm not going to accept the lies of the devil. Well, it's not working for you. It's not working for you. Oh, you have little faith. I'm not going to believe that stuff. I have great faith. I have the faith of Jesus Christ. Amen. Says we have the faith of God. It's a gift. He has given me faith. My problem is I got to get my soul, my natural man, to start getting in alignment with my spirit. Because in my spirit, you'd really like me in my spirit. If you don't like me now, you'd love me, my born-again spirit. Hallelujah. It's that fleshy, that soulish part that you got to get adjusted to. Amen. I won't get offended at you. But it's like there's things people do in the flesh that just push you away. But, oh, if you would know them in the spirit, you'd love them. It's just that fleshy part. You know, sometimes it's that bald place that's balding in the back of the head. So I don't like pastors going partly bald. Well, I can't. Well, I guess I could help it, but, it's like that's the way I am. I'm not too concerned about it. It's like, well, I just don't like the way you preach. Okay, fine. Find somebody else. But don't stray from the Word of God. Because the Word of God is what's going to set you free. Not the style of preaching, not the minister. It's the Word of God that's going to set you free. Amen? Oh, I wanted to get into this, and we're not going to be able to. Oh, my. Okay, I got to touch this. I can't leave without this. We've had two words of the Lord. And the one we're going over on September the 11th, I just want to pick out October 11th, I'm sorry, thank you. the part I just want to highlight, a few things that the Lord said to us, and we started going over these Wednesday night. God said this, I stand among you not to make you feel good, but to empower you. For I've come to save, and I've come to glorify. I've come to change you, now listen, from your past to your future. That's the work of God, to empower us to go from our past, the things that hold you back, the fears, the physical conditions, to change you from your past to your future, which is glory in God. Amen. He goes on to say, as your faith turns and as your eyes rest on me, declares Jesus, I will empower you. I will enable you to do things that at this time that you'll say, how can I? And that's why you walk away from me. That's why you walk in discouragement, because you say, woe am I. But I've come to take your woe, says the Lord. I've come to take those discouragements, those disappointments off of you, declares Jesus. Glory to God. Another thing out of October 11th's word, he says, my anointing is here to cover you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, to immerse you in my anointing, in my presence, in my glory, says Jesus, that you would begin to walk in those areas that are only dreams right now, that you would begin to prepare for those dreams to be changed into reality. See, the things that you dream, God wants you to begin to focus on those. He wants you to begin to get the Word of God on those so he can bring them into reality, because you're preparing for it. That's part of faith. What would you do if you were well? Make plans. Think about it. What would you do if you were well? If you could do it right now, what would you be willing to do? What would you want to do? Well, make plans for it. That can be part of the healing process. That can be part of the things that help you out. He goes on to say, so walk in me. Get out of yourself and walk in me, declares God. For only then can you abide in the vine. Only then can you do the things that you dreamed of. Only then can you fulfill what I've called you to do, because you're walking in me, and as you walk in me, I walk in you. April the 3rd, just 2 weeks ago, the Lord said these things. Oh, there are those who say, when will the Lord loose his angels? When will the Lord send them forth? When will the Lord do all those mighty things that he said he will do? I've already sent out my angels, says God. They're among you today in this place. He goes on to say a little bit further down, take joy. See we've when is God going to do this? God says, I've already set it in motion. Last week, 2 weeks ago, I told you that I saw six angels here in the church. They were up in the rafters. And I asked them what they're doing. And one of them just looked at me and says, the breakthrough is here. He didn't say it's coming. He said, it's here. It's here. You know, angels can only say what God tells them to say. They're not allowed to say other things. So that was the word of the Lord. The breakthrough is here. The question is, will you walk in it? Will you receive it? Or are you going to hold back? Amen. But it's here. Amen. It's here. It's here. God is in this place. He goes on to say, take joy that every foul thing that rises itself up against you has already been defeated. You don't have to yield to those things any longer, for I have already set you free, declares God. Woo! It's already done. In God's perspective, it's done. It's accomplished. It's already over. You have won. Isn't that good news? You've already won. You just got to convince yourself. Oh, God, I don't feel like I'm winning. Would you send a boxer into a prize fight? You're with that kind of an attitude, you're pumping him up. You got this. You got this. He's soft on the left side. Keep pounding the left. You've got him. You've got him. Your hook will get him. You've got the footwork. You've got all the moves, baby. You can take him down. You can take him down. It might take four or five rounds, but you can take him down. And the fighter goes in, I don't think I can do this. Is he going to win or lose? He's going to lose. Only because, not because of a lack of ability, but because of his attitude, he'll lose the fight that he should have won because he goes in with the wrong attitude. See, this is where our faith separates us, because faith gives us the right attitude. Amen? The final part out of the April 3rd word was this. For all over the world, people are crying out and they're saying, where is the real God? And it's a shame that my people make the same cry, for I am with you, says God. I am in you. See, we shouldn't be like the world. We shouldn't be saying the things that the world is saying, because God lives in us. We're different. We're unique. We're special. We're a peculiar people. That means an odd bunch. We don't fit in with the normal flow of things. We are strange. We are different. But we are the children of God and the house of God. And the Lord God Almighty rules with us and all who will believe on Jesus Christ. All who believe. This is who we are as children, as sons and daughters of the Most High God. This is who we are. This is our faith that separates us, that distinguishes us from every other person in the world. We believe in life. While the world's faith is consumed in death and dying, we are consumed with the spirit of life, of Zoe. The life that only God can possess. And when I drop this old earthly body, I'm going to walk more free and more fully in that glory of Almighty God, because I had faith in this life. But I can enjoy this life. I'm believing God. Amen. I am believing God. Let's stand up. Because if we don't, we'll never go to lunch. Praise God. Let's pray. We're going to bless the lunch too. Well, Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that as we've spoken, God, that you've stirred faith within us, God, and a desire, God, that we can live higher than what we're living right now. Thank you, Father, that we were healed by the stripes of Jesus, and we are the healed, and we are the redeemed, and we are the free, Father. I thank you, God, that our focus of our faith is on the life and the power of God, not on the weakness of flesh. But, Father, we're keeping our eyes on you. We want to walk with you, Father, all the days of our life. And we praise you, God, that you have made that available for us to choose life. You said, I set before you this day life and death. Therefore, choose life that you may live. Father, we choose life. We choose health. We choose abundance. We choose prosperity. We choose, Father, to come out of the mire and the confinements of this world and walk in the glories of Almighty God. We choose these things, Father, to activate them in our life now, today, this moment, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Father, as we dismiss to lunch, we pray over the lunch. Lord, we ask you we thank you, God, for blessing the hands of all those that have prepared the food and got it ready for us and have set up the tables and decorated them. And, Father, we give you the praise. Lord, we ask you to bless our food and our fellowship to your glory and to our benefit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.